Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 495. So we took a little break from At Midnight this week, just a little hiatus week, because we're on the same schedule as The Daily Show and Colbert, so when they take off, we take off, which is nice, but I'm really antsy to get back into the show. I feel like we just started it, so it's cool that we got to take a couple of days off, but I really just want to get back to work, because next week we have fantastic guests, W. Kamau Bell, Hannibal Buress, Jenny Johnson, Mike Lawrence, Todd Barry, Neil Brennan, Greg Proops, Ben Cronberg. It's gonna be a nice comeback week, so I'm already like cracking my knuckles just sitting around going, I want to get back, because right, we're gonna be doing At Midnight on the road live a couple times and see how that works. So we'll be at the South Beach Comedy Festival on April 4th, and then I think maybe in May we're going to be in Nashville? I don't know. Look it up. Use the internet. Sure, I could have looked it up before I did this intro, but I'm a dick. All right. I would like to thank for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, Carbonite Online Backup. It's super easy to back up all your stuff so you don't lose it, because hardware fails eventually, and then you don't want to be stuck having lost all of your files. Why not have them backed up? Why not have access to all of them from any computer anywhere? The backup is seamless. It happens in the background. You don't even notice. Just sign up. There's an offer code for 2 bonus free months using Nerdist if you go to carbonite.com. So start your trial today. No credit card required. It really is a free trial. If you don't like it, don't use it. But I don't know why you're not going to like backing up your stuff. So carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist for 2 free bonus months. This episode is Will Arnett. Now, I've seen Will Arnett at things a few times, and I was always kind of nervous to go up to him, because, I don't know, when you like people, you get nervous when you think they're cool, and you don't want to go up and embarrass yourself, or have him go, hi. So I have never bothered him in public before. He turned out to be every bit as incredible as that I had hoped a Will Arnett could be. This episode is essentially a Riptide, not to be confused with the fantastic 80s show Riptide that had a robot in the cast. It's a Riptide all the way, and Will Arnett is a fucking genius. So his show The Millers is on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. on CBS, and you should watch that and support all things Will Arnett, like the Nerdist Podcast number 495 with the aforementioned Will Arnett.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Sometimes
hold
for an hour. Maybe something's going to happen.
You never know.
What is going to happen?
I could get a message that says, hi.
I have a weird thing about leaving my phone on during these, which is, what if someone texts in and they go, someone died? And then it's like, oh, well, now we have to, this is awkward for everyone. I would rather just wait for that information.
We
until
did that.
After the
Paul F. and Gorley and I were recording James Bonding when Philip Seymour Hoffman died, and it made it weird.
Oh, what if they said, someone died, but the instructions to save them are embedded in your under your skin, like born identity.
And then I killed them by not doing it and getting it
and
in time?
And because they're like, you have to answer. We didn't want to tell you because we knew that you wouldn't be able to handle that responsibility.
But I think if you were to ask the listeners, it'd be worth it that we just kept going.
You think so?
Yeah.
But even if we're going to let that person die?
Yeah. I mean, and someone's going to go. They got to go.
Obviously, except the people who knew the person.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, depending on how big a fan they are of the podcast.
Well, what if the person who's dying was the president?
Of podcasts?
Of podcasts?
President of podcasts?
No, the president of the internet.
Oh, that's even bigger.
That is huge.
That's pretty huge.
Have you met the president of the internet?
There should be a president of the internet.
Absolutely.
I would love to be the president, because the first thing I would do would be just kick people out.
Kick them outside the dome.
That would be my whole mandate would be, my whole entire platform would be, here are the list of people who have to go.
No, wait a minute. I'm just thinking about
who do you think I would kick off first? Try to guess.
Who would you kick off first? You would kick off One Direction? Would you kick off One Direction?
No. There would be no sort of celebrities and or pseudo celebrities. Obviously the Kardashians, okay, of course. But
first of all, if you're kicking off shitsters, you would have to get rid of pretty much every gaming forum.
Yes, you're right. I would kick off Anonymous. Not Anonymous.
Good. We're good. Right. Great.
Rule number one, the president of the internet says he loves the group Anonymous. Can I say this? I put this out there to anybody who's involved with Anonymous. Is there a hotline that I can get in touch with you? Because I have so many people that I want you to take down. I love the work they do for the most part.
Yeah.
I know that's not a very popular position to take, but I think they're so phenomenal. Can I go to the dark web? How do I do that? I have to download.
It's called 4chan.
What is it?
4chan.
That's the dark web.
That's the dark web.
You know what though? But the principle of it is basically empowering the little guy.
Absolutely.
Whenever a little guy gets fucked up, they step in and they bring justice.
Like what are those guys? Those two billionaire brothers who are supporting the Koch brothers. By the way, let's agree that they're the Koch.
The Koch brothers. Koch brothers. Yeah, I think that's okay.
Okay,
yeah.
The little Koch brothers.
Yeah.
These fucking guys. Hey, let's get Anonymous in there for a minute, right?
Yep.
And let's start. First of all, let's drain the bank accounts.
Done.
Redistribute the money. And let's reset. And let's see how these assholes, let's see how big their voice is when their billions are gone.
And then you and I should play them in a movie.
And our compensation should be $2
billion
each.
Should come from that.
I love it.
Wait, that's not, I don't know if they should redistribute to us.
You're entertaining people. It's a separate thing.
Okay, all right.
After all the prerequisite Ferraris and jets and shit,
yeah,
we're going to be super,
super responsible. We need to take our jets to bring food.
And if there's like a third fat brother we don't know about, I'll play him.
I want you to know this.
A fat cock?
Yes.
I want you, the fat cock. Why do you get? Well, that's what you get. The money, you get to be the fat cock. But you know what? Here's the deal.
Yeah.
If Anonymous, I make you this pledge.
Thank you.
If they redistribute the Koch brothers' wealth to us,
yep,
I want you to know, and I get north of $2 billion. I want you to know that from my side alone, you're good for $4 million.
Nice. You get $4 million
minimum.
Thank you.
Tax paid after taxes.
After taxes, this is great.
So that's
you
net.
Know what? You know what? I'm fuck it. Make it $5 million.
That's net. $5 million.
He's so generous.
$5 million.
He's so generous. This is ridiculous.
Someday we're gonna get a trill.
President,
I just
want to
get up
internet
to a trill.
President.
Second thing
internet
I would do.
Oh wait, you didn't say the first thing. So kick off anonymous posters.
Anonymous, I want to get in touch with them. I want them to start doing.
So again, the delineation: Anonymous, the group. Yay.
Yeah.
People who post anonymously. Gone.
Done. Mm. If you want to comment on the internet in any way, your home address and your phone number.
You have to be
accountable. In other words, you have to be accountable.
You're asking for accountability for actions.
Because if you walk down the street and you walk by somebody and you say, hey, you look like a fat loser, you run the risk of getting punched in the nose.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
The same should be true for the internet.
I agree that you should not be able to cast
your physical address, your phone number, your email, everything. And by the way, once you do that, say whatever the hell you want.
Listen, if you want to take responsibility for your words, that's fine. Say whatever you want.
Please register your travel plans with us.
By the way, I will say that...
You want to know where you are.
Whoever is... I do think, though, whoever is president of the internet would ironically be taken down by the group Anonymous, because I don't think...
I don't know. He sounds pretty fair.
Whoever is in power... the internet's goal would be, well, now we got to take that guy down.
Agreed. But I think that they would find that my entire mandate would just be about making it fair. That's it. That's what the real role. It's very much a representative government.
Do you feel like, however, that you would be corrupt and then there would be a lot of like, would you all of a sudden, would your office look like the point of view of the camera from those porn casting auditions?
I feel like, not unlike Michael Bloomberg, I'm incorruptible.
You're okay. Yeah, all right.
I do. I'm not a billionaire yet.
No.
Right. But you're going to get there.
But I'm going to get there by some...
really quickly if this plan works.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
And again, whatever, I'm going to have a few less dollars.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I took a little bit of it.
Has there ever been a billionaire actor who's just so... I mean, I know that there are very wealthy...
actors.
I know some people can have like a couple hundred mil.
Sure.
But Oprah technically counts as a billionaire actor. She has acted in things,
that's not
and
fair.
She is
sure,
a billionaire.
That's not fair, because she's generated the bulk of her, wealth from...
She did. Yeah, it wasn't from acting.
No, it was from a daytime talk show.
Can you make $1 billion from just acting? I don't think so yet.
You know why? You know why nobody's done it? Because I don't think anybody's had the balls to try it yet.
You think so?
Do you know who's going to do it?
Hmm.
Robert Downey Jr.
You think he's going to
do it? Yeah, I think you're right. I think he might do it.
The second he goes, I don't know about this Avengers thing anymore.
Here's $1 billion.
Oh, okay.
We'll make it back.
I'm a big fan of that and of him doing
it.
I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy about his success.
Mm.
So I think you're right. I think that he might be the first guy.
He might be the first guy to do it.
I don't know if an actor should have $1 billion, though. I feel like... You know,
I think most actors should not.
Right,
most actors. I can't even
think of an actor who should.
And
have
I feel like some of the actors, some actors that might be on their way to $1 billion, would self-destruct and undermine it to then not be able to reach.
Let me ask you this: what actors do you think deserve to have $1 billion, and not necessarily as a reflection of how good they are as an actor?
Okay, so, but just
because they seem like
they're
like good,
really good people.
Yeah,
not Anne Hathaway.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go... My first instinct is Tom Hanks should have $1 billion.
Well, Tom Hanks probably has...
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, he just deserves $1 billion.
Who would be good with a B? Who would be good with a B?
Definitely not a comedian.
Nope.
Because that's just a fucking... That's just throwing gas
I don't.
Fire.
None of them deserve it.
So is it a dramatic actor? Is it like
obviously, present company...
Of course.
Thank you.
I think we'd all do good.
We always operate under the umbrella.
We're in the bubble.
We mean everyone but us.
Who dramatically? Who's real good?
And seems like a good person.
It seems like a cool
Clooney. Clooney seems pretty cool.
No, here's cool. Who it is. Here's who I'm giving $1 billion to. Yeah. Paul Giamatti.
You think so?
Yeah, Paul. Here's $1 billion.
Interesting. You know what? I agree with you. Yeah. Although I don't think he grew up with no wealth. His father was.
Yeah, his father was well. He was the commissioner
of baseball.
Very wealthy
guy.
Yeah.
Commissioner of baseball. Yeah. But yeah, I like him too. Yeah. I like Paul Giamatti a lot.
Do you give it to a leading person or a character?
I give it
person?
To someone I'm always happy to see. And who I've not read anything about being a douchebag.
To? John Goodman.
I'd throw $1 billion at John Goodman.
Never had one bad performance, I don't think.
Yeah. Do you you don't want them to be too young though, right? Are you thinking that they should be?
I don't want them to blow it.
Yeah. Like Dakota Fanning, you're in the running. Keep it going for a little while. We might give it to you eventually.
But would you give it to someone like let's say you gave it to like Meryl Streep? Or Dolly Parton, like
she doesn't deserve it.
You don't think so?
No. We give her enough.
By the way, Meryl Streep, incredibly talented, very sweet lady, really great. But no.
Yeah.
You know why? I also want to see somebody who's going to do something rad with it.
That's the other thing is that you don't want to just be like, thanks, and they just put it in
bonds.
I feel
like John Goodman's going to buy like an acre in downtown New Orleans and then just put up like a shack and live there and do something cool.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah,
you know?
Like he's just found the best acoustics for banjo for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know. Why the fuck did he do that? I don't know. It's John Goodman. He has $1 billion. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I wonder...
By the way, if I get $1 billion and I say this like it was just out of...
Are you campaigning for $1 billion?
All I'm saying is
okay.
You guys might not have the power to give out $1 billion. I will never darken your door again.
What?
I want you to know that. I want you to know. I would, out of respect, I would take it quietly.
No, but you know what, though?
Never darken
your
door.
But people really like you. I think they would be bummed to hear that you were going to take the bill and just disappear. I think they wouldn't want to know that. I think they'd want to know. You'd have to start making fucked up, crazy video games or movies.
Let's ask this question. Let's pose this to the table.
All right.
You're given $1 billion.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. All right.
What are you going to do?
I like the way you say it.
What's the thing you're going to do with it? That pet project maybe you've had in the back of your head, that invention you wanted to make, what do you do with $1 billion?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, well, for starters, and this is going to sound crazy greedy, but I need two bees. Because in order to play with a bee, I need to know that I got my own bee.
You don't get to wish for more wishes.
All right.
No, you don't. So if I want to have my own bee.
Sure.
And then
sure.
It's just my slush bee.
Right. Well, I just got word you're getting a second billion.
Okay.
You're getting two bees.
The first bee, we're going to go nuts. We're going to change people's lives.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. You're going that way. Okay.
I want to lead with like inner city shit.
Yep. Done.
Yep.
Okay. Done.
Yep.
Outer city shit.
Yep. Yeah.
Done.
You know what I'd do? Make all the sidewalks that playground material that's real springy.
Oh, yeah, that's a great
enjoy
idea.
It. Everybody gets
not just
it.
The sidewalks though, but you'd have to line the buildings with it too, so you could bounce off the.
It's getting a little crazy.
All right, I can do whatever I want with my bees. You fucking worry about the ground.
I'll take care of the sidewalks.
I'll take all the
you
want to
handle some walls? You handle some walls.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Think about walking on that all day.
That's
you know what happens there. Barefoot. Everybody gets to go barefoot.
Yeah.
Still no flying cars. Still no flying personal transportation.
I don't want it.
Not so much.
I don't need it.
Too many.
I got soft sidewalks. I'm going to walk everywhere.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If you have soft sidewalks, then it makes the implements less dangerous for people.
How does that make it less dangerous?
Well, because if you fall, you'll just bounce and spring up against the springy walls that I'm going to put up.
I don't like the design of your cockpit.
I'm going to do a federally mandated 3-day weekend. Every weekend.
Done.
Now, how does $1 billion make that happen?
It's just lobbyists, fat cats, pockets.
Just line it.
Do we add an eighth day of the week, or do you take away?
That's a great question.
Ooh, yeah. No, that's not bad.
You know why? Because then you could also, with that $1 billion, license 8 days a week by the Beatles, mm-hmm. which you would need that much money to license to get your plan through.
What if you did 3 on, 2 off, 3 on, 2 off?
That's a good idea. Schedule.
Right?
This is a great schedule.
You know, the only thing that bothers me about that, though, is that
man
sometimes it
shoots a multi-camera.
And we're getting rid of weeks.
But sometimes it takes 3 days to get into the week.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it takes
to
a couple
rev
days.
Into it, yeah.
Yeah.
Thursday makes a great Friday, doesn't it?
Thursday is a really good Friday.
You don't need Monday off. You need Friday off.
In many ways, Thursday is better at being Friday than Friday.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a great Thursday night is kind of kicking Friday night's ass.
Friday is kind of a douchey epilogue, really.
Yeah,
I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
No,
I would not disagree.
Okay,
I agree with you.
Good. All right, good. So far, we've made the sidewalk springy, and we're making Thursday. We're getting Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
In a 3 on, 2 off. No,
I think we've agreed.
It comes in the front end, or does it come in the back end? Are we going to say everybody loves Mondays now, or are you just going to say Friday's off? Everybody
coming
on Monday.
Here's the deal that we're making is if you're getting Friday, enough with the Monday hating.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Let's embrace Monday.
Great. Yeah.
And let's make it a positive thing.
Yep.
And let's make Monday morning. Stop with the commercials about the sad sack. And, oh, it's Monday.
Yeah.
Enough.
Fuck you, Garfield.
Done.
Yeah, fuck you. Garfield gone.
Go fuck it. That would be the other thing that I would do.
Garfield, go fuck yourself.
Gone. Erased.
Yeah,
from
Garfield would have died of cat diabetes years ago. Years ago.
Without
you cannot eat that much lasagna.
Nobody eats that kind of lasagna.
No.
And you look at the numbers. I mean, they back it up. You look at the numbers of lasagna eating cultures, Italians, of how many Italians who eat lasagna on a regular basis, and you look at their life expectancy.
Not very high.
Cat years. What's the cat year equivalent?
I think
dog years is seven.
Seven,
right?
Seven years.
What's cat
years,
Katie?
Cats got to be 6 or 5, something like that. Cats
yeah,
live
it's
a little bit longer.
It's a little bit longer.
Cats are the ladies to the men of the dog.
Well, I think that's because most of them don't eat lasagna, but I think we have to cross-reference between lasagna eaters and cats and have to find...
What does a cat even do if you put lasagna in front of it?
It turns its nose up at it because they're fucking cats are assholes.
Can we agree also? I'm gonna say this, and this is also I feel like gonna be controversial maybe with your listeners, but cats, I don't even think they're capable of being assholes. I think they're just stupid. Straight up. And I think that's the big mystery.
Cats are dumb.
It's very possible. Which is why we find it so amusing when they do human-like things. They're like, they're too stupid to do this thing. This is hilarious.
Have you ever known people in your life who for a while you were tricked and you thought you were mistaken by their sort of long pauses or their deep looking, you know, their sort of like their gaze, and you'd think this person is thinking hard on this, and it turns out they're just dumb,
just empty, just flies,
or they're Jeff Goldblum and they're just thinking about tail.
Maybe, but Jeff Goldblum at least has the Jeff
jazz
Goldblum,
piano background to back.
No,
up,
but but he at least has the good sense to stammer in between thoughts, so you know that he's coming up with the answer.
You know, I heard this true story that Jeff Goldblum, his first piano lesson when he was a kid, and they said, "What do you want to do? Like, what kind of pianist do you want to be?" And he said, "I just want to crush ass." And so teach me whatever it's going to take for me to crush.
Okay, so you don't want to give him $1 billion then? Because that's a pretty great...
Does Jeff Goldblum get $1 billion?
Like,
he's got gold in his
name. I feel like that cat knows... He knows how to party, and he knows how to spend it. Yep.
Goldblum seems like a guy that doesn't need $1 million to have a billion-dollar party. Like, you know, like he seems like...
Saying he's smart, frugal, going to go to Costco. He's going to get his money's worth out of
this. No, I just feel like wherever he goes, that's just going to happen around him. He doesn't have to... People like me would have to engineer...
So you're saying inviting a Goldblum to a party is
makes
worth
it a $1 billion party.
It's worth like $700 million.
I'm suggesting that Goldblum keeps his credit card bill, monthly credit card, is under $500.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
He's good. Okay, he's good. So I like Goldblum.
Goldblum's great.
I don't know who else really. I don't know who else that I would throw a billion dollars.
Very few deserving. Very few deserving. And that's the amazing thing.
Maybe you can speak to this, but Jeffrey Tambor. Does he get $1 billion?
Ooh, Tambor.
Whenever I encounter him in life. I find him very enjoyable.
But how old is Tambor? Is he over 70?
You know what? I would give Jeffrey $1 billion.
Yeah. You would?
I would.
But what do you think he's going to do with it, though?
He's going to tweet honored, hashtag honored. He does that a lot these days. He's not going to listen because he can barely turn his computer on.
Know how to work it. Yeah.
No, there's no way. So, I love him to death. I'm going to see him tomorrow. He's been working on our multi-camera sitcom for a few times this year.
You mean tomorrow. The Millers,
and he's going to be on tomorrow
on CBS.
On CBS, yeah, Thursday nights at 8:30.
That's a sweet ass plug.
Yeah,
it's not going to lie. If you're going to be on television nowadays,
yeah,
you want to be on CBS.
Yeah. Do you like
without question?
How do you like the difference between this style? I mean, first of all, the shooting schedule for the style of sitcom is probably a lot better than like Arrested, right?
Wistful. I saw him.
Did
just
you see
get
that?
Wistful.
Did you see that?
I've never seen wistfulness.
I was taken away
so quickly.
I was taken away. It's incredible. The schedule is fantastic, and. You know, when we're there, it's tough, but like, you know, it's a lot, but it's really great, and it allows me to have a life outside of, you know, for instance, you know, making Arrested is a very taxing process, also, but a very great process,
sure,
super rewarding on every level, but takes a lot of time, very time intensive, and the Millers is much less time intensive, so that part of it is amazing, and it means that I get to spend a lot of time with my kids, which is great. So it's been a really positive experience. I like doing the live shows. There are so many things down the list that I like about this show. I like doing the live shows. I like working with Jimmy Burrows, who's one of the all-time legends. Created Cheers, directed every episode of Will and Grace, directed the pilots of Friends.
Frasier.
Started on Mary Tyler Moore, directed Taxi.
People have to understand what it means in our business.
By the way, look up Jim Burrows' net worth.
Yeah, well,
he's
because,
close.
Because
he's very close.
We're not giving him it.
Here's what people have to understand.
You know what his answer was? Nah, I'm good.
If you direct a pilot in our business and the show gets picked up, you get paid every time that another episode of that show is made when you direct a pilot. So
correct.
If your show runs for 10 years, even if you only direct the pilot, you get paid every time.
Do you think like correct. If in his house he's like, oh, I'm out of paper towels. Oh, here's a royalty check for Frasier, and he just wipes something down with
it's
it.
It's very possible.
Well, that's insane. There's no way that you believe that.
He wants to believe it.
Yeah,
I do. I
know.
I want to believe it so badly.
But yeah, I mean, look, that's absolutely true. And that's and if those shows go into syndication, you participate in that as well.
It's unbelievable. And hopefully, I still feel like the syndication business is still okay. Like, there's a lot of television is changed a little bit. but I still feel like syndication business is still okay.
It's still, if you're made, there are very few, but
there's less space for it now, though.
There's less space for it, and the shows, in terms of scripted programming that does well, and certainly in comedy, it's really still the half hour, the multicam that dominates that. And the single camera shows, even the best single camera shows, have not done well in syndication.
Yeah.
Because you know it's serialized and it's just tough for people to just pop it on.
Yeah, because that's exactly the thing. Syndicated television, you just need to be able to go, oh, this is on, I'll just watch this.
Yeah,
and zone out.
Yep,
absolutely. And we've all done it. So and there's a reason. And we'd all like to think like, well, no, my tastes are so highbrow that I would be able. And like, no. You want something that you can just turn on and easily watch.
Yeah.
So you
have you? Let me ask you this. And total
please.
Honesty.
Yeah.
Have you, within the last 5 years, turned on the television and there's, you know, it's been a sort of a 11 o'clock at night or whatever, and there's an episode of Friends on? That's inevitable, and just ended up kind of watching it?
Yes. I haven't.
I have.
But I don't channel surf anymore.
I appreciate your honesty, because I have.
Yeah.
I would, but I don't just sit. My time is so limited that I have to. My viewing is very intentional. I go right to watch something.
Well,
and I'm usually
look, we get it. You're busier than we are, but
understand.
Guys, I don't have time for this right now.
You're driving that point
nice
home.
For you to make time
and
for
it's,
us.
I mean,
right now,
it's all going to change when you guys get your $1 billion.
Oh,
piece.
Is it going to change?
Yeah, we're going to do our own podcast.
Oh, that's if you got a billion. I guess there's no reason you couldn't do a podcast.
Honestly, if I got $1 billion, boom. If I got $1 billion, though, I would probably do a podcast because I would go insane out of boredom.
Listen, I think I'm going to hold the mic up so that people can hear that fist bump again because it was really.
Oh, it was.
Here we go. That was fantastic.
That was solid. That was a solid.
Did you get that, Katie?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That was $1 billion fist bump right
there.
That
was $2 billion. We came together, plus he's got $1 billion sitting in the bank.
Let me ask you something. Since,
that's right.
since this
is all after taxes. So take that, Uncle Sam.
because of all the award shows that have just happened, why do actors rarely thank the editors? I always wonder because... You know, the director has a lot.
Dirty secret.
The directors have a lot to do. The actors have a lot to do. But really, if the takes aren't edited properly, you would look like a fucking idiot as an actor if you had a bad editor.
People don't know this that also on movie and TV sets, quite often the editor comes down and visits the set, a few times a week and spends time on set. Because they're getting dailies, you know, they're getting footage every day, and as they're cutting it, they're starting, you know, they'll notice a pattern or whatever, and they need to tell the director, we need more of this. They are the other half of the filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
For the director directs, and then it gets sent to the editor, and he starts to have to build those scenes and builds it in a way that captivates you, that takes you on that ride. Of course, directors come in and they do passes, and they're working in concert with the editor, but ultimately... The best editors are in this town some of the most coveted pieces of talent around. And I think that a lot of actors probably don't know that as much. You'd be amazed at how many actors, or maybe not amazed, are not aware of what the process is of putting together the final product.
Yeah, because you're just watching one take of something. I think it would be really interesting if you had all of the takes from like a really classic, like an Oscar-winning movie, and just put alternate takes all the way through, and just adjusted the timing a little bit.
I tell you something. I have a friend of mine. How can I say this without giving any of it away? A very big film, and I will definitely tell you guys after we cut, so that you won't press me for details.
Okay, no worries.
One of the biggest films in the last 10 years. I know somebody who worked on it, and an executive for the company said, if I wanted to ruin the director's career, I would release his cut of the movie.
Oh, shit. Mm.
And he would never work in town again. And he's a big director.
Wow. Holy shit.
And it was, and I guess it was because the director is such a dick, a well-known dick.
Sure, sure.
I'm sort of just
winnowing down who I think this might be.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was, and that just goes to show you that what can be done after the shooting process is finished.
Do you ever direct stuff? Do you ever want to direct stuff?
I have not yet, but I would like to. But I'm constantly kind of just trying to learn more, I've had a sort of a couple opportunities to direct things, and yet I've been reluctant
But, you know.
It's still fun.
You'll do an episode of The Millers.
Totally could. Yeah. That could be a good... Listen.
Well, that would be difficult. And I'd tell you, look, Jimmy Burrows directs every episode as it is
okay,
right
yeah,
now.
That'd be kind of tough to
say. So, but even if were he to decide to leave, it would be... And especially for comedy, I think it's very difficult to direct yourself because it's so hard to stay objective about what you're doing. And I think that it is a collaborative process. And I never consider myself to be the final arbiter of what is necessarily funny. There are things that I think that I can do or that I know that like, oh, this would be a funny thing to say or a funny move. But ultimately, you need another voice to say, hey, yeah, that was funny. However, keep in mind this, and it's a difficult thing to do. I generally, I think comedy is very difficult to direct.
Did you start out doing comedy? You didn't start out doing comedy, did you?
No.
But you found out that you were funny because of your parents or because you're Canadian?
Well, yeah, maybe because I'm Canadian.
Canadians are funny.
I love that. That's a kind of like a
Canadians
blank,
are. I feel
blanket
like,
truth.
I feel like Canadians are inherently funny.
Well,
first of all, I didn't know you were Canadian.
Yeah,
and I Toronto, liked you
right?
before
from Toronto,
and it just went up like that much more.
Yeah, from being Canadian.
Well,
you know, we're—I always like to say that we're kind of pressed up against the glass of America, as it were, to use a hockey analogy, and I think it would be appropriate,
sure. Yeah,
considering the subject matter.
Yeah,
and I think that we do have the luxury of being so similar culturally, and yet our identity or lack thereof is just different enough. You know, we spent our lives, and I certainly did my sort of childhood. Laughing at the idea of sort of American Americana pride and all that stuff, thing like, oh God, it's so over the top, it's so ridiculous. And yet now, having spent all these years here, I get it.
Yeah,
and I buy into it too. And it's such an interesting, fantastic place, you know, this country. But I did spend a lot of time, and that's partially having Canadians have a bit of a chip on their shoulder, being completely honest.
I haven't noticed it. They've hidden it well, except for Montreal.
These are things that I noticed about myself. In Montreal, you noticed that?
I noticed that in Montreal a bit, yeah.
Well, they have a chip on their shoulder regarding all the other provinces.
Well, just basically anything that's not Montreal. I've met a lot of nice people there, but I also, I've never been anywhere else as Americans, we get very spoiled. People are like, we're Americans, and everyone loves it, you know. No. And then you go to a place where, you know, you'll talk to someone, and they'll go, well, where are you from? And then they go, oh, I'm from America. And they're like, oh. And they just don't talk to you
anymore. They shut down.
Yeah, they totally, totally shut down.
I think that Canadians I cop to this myself to a certain degree, are very passive-aggressive. It's a very passive-aggressive culture, I think. And you know, obviously generalizations are bogus, but I think that that's kind of true. We are just that much more different. I think there's much more similar now even than when I was a kid, culturally, Canadians and Americans. And we are whatever. Let's get into globalization is our next topic, right?
Guys.
Well, that's we're going to talk about economic trends.
Let's talk about North America as a whole.
I feel like it's important because
I had a Starbucks in Milan, Italy. I mean, can we start there? Revolting against farm subsidies in France. I mean, guys.
Yeah. Exactly. Right? While holding your Starbucks.
Yeah.
This is enough.
Yeah.
Well, you see, let's say you're in Italy, sure. Right? You see a Starbucks, and for some reason, there's a Tim Hortons right next to it. Where are you going?
I mean, let's not fuck around. I'm going to Tim Hortons. Canada has more donut shops per capita than any other place on the planet.
I love it. Well, I would say Boston.
No.
With its Dunkin' Donuts.
The numbers are out there. You can look it up if Katie wants to look it up.
Katie, you want to look it up? I mean, just donuts per... Donut shops per person, Toronto versus
all right, how about this? Every country gets to pick one donut shop and then have a fighter represent that donut shop. So we get to fight Dunkin' Donuts and Tim Hortons. We get to fight.
So we have to send a native of the country to go fight?
Yeah, I mean, technically it should be, but yeah.
Canada has more than any other country in the world.
Oh, shit.
Sure.
Well,
sure.
Second. I mean, we're second.
Hey, listen, you guys are doing great.
Terrible.
I'm not saying, yo, you're doing great.
That's fine.
No, you're great. No, you're doing fine.
America, you better get on this fucking donut trend right now because those goddamn maple jockeys up north are taking over. Do not drop the donut ball, America.
I will also say this, and I don't want to incite a riot, but Tim Horton Donuts, they absolutely crushed Dunkin' Donuts donuts.
Uh-oh. Well.
Matt's starting to sweat.
Well.
Guys, a second ago you were fist bumping, talking about your $1 billion. Now there's going to be a fucking donut war. And,
I admit,
sitting across from each other, and I am sitting perpendicular as if I will have to mediate this press conference.
I should also... Obviously, I did say that to incite a riot. I've had so many fantastic Dunkin' Donuts.
Here's the deal.
I love the product. I love Dunkin' Donuts.
I think they each have their own virtues. They might win, say, a glaze from a Hortons. I enjoy a glaze from a Hortons more so than I enjoy a glaze from a Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
So they each have their...
No.
But when I talk about a chocolate glazed cake donut, I'm only getting it from Dunkin' Donuts.
Really?
Tim Hortons? Sorry, it's not good enough. And their blueberry donut at Tim Hortons. Was very disappointing.
I can't speak to that, but I can tell you that, look, I've had so many fantastic Dunkin' Donut experiences in my life. Should I even feel bad? This is like arguing, like, who, you know, when you're down to the final two Sports Illustrated for the cover, who is the prettiest? They're both fantastic.
It's Kate Upton, but go ahead, yeah.
Okay, fine. But we haven't even agreed on that. It's not case. It's still pending. Anyway, the case isn't closed. But the point is, and I think, obviously, America runs on Dunkin'.
Sure, yeah, it does.
And that was a play.
Except for Southern
California. That's their slogan.
Now, I wonder if Dunkin' has tried to keep. I wonder if Hortons is like, well, we're just not going to come to America because we're Canadian.
They are in America.
Where are they?
They're up in the Northeast now, and they're starting to
creep down.
I welcome them with open arms.
They're in Buffalo, and then they've come down. Yep. They're in Connecticut. They're as low as like if you drive from New York to Boston and you take 84. Let me think. You take 84 before you get on the Mass Pike.
Yep.
Off 84, they have some of them. I'm trying to think what part.
Rural 90. I have no idea what that is.
I do think, however,
you don't know what the Mass Pike is.
Are you, you're from Boston? Yeah, yeah. What town are you from?
I'm from Lowell.
Oh, you're from Lowell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love this. Is my favorite thing. I have so much history with the city of Boston. I love it. Starting back years ago, so I spent a lot of time there, and I really love Boston. But so many times, I'm from. Oh, you're from Boston? Yeah. Where are you from? I'm from Lowell.
Well,
I'm from Newton.
Let me preface this. My entire family is from East Cambridge, right on the Charles.
There we go.
So, and they only moved right before I was born. They moved. My immediate family moved, but my entire family. So I spent a lot of time. On the Charles in Boston. I went to school in Boston. So I feel like I can... And I lived there when I was in college.
Okay, you're good. Next case.
All right.
All right. The court recognizes...
Well, are you from Toronto proper?
I am.
All right. All right.
I am.
Boy, do you enjoy...
I've been waiting for you to ask me that.
Do you enjoy...
I fucking dare you.
I dare you. Oh, do you see the little dollar bill on the string?
Do you...
Come in, you want this? Stupid kitty.
Toronto, here's how I've described Toronto, and I always like to check it out with people that are from Toronto. I describe Toronto as Gotham City if Batman was good at his job.
Well, interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of people could call it a clean New York.
It's beautiful.
I love Toronto.
I prefer to think of it as a dirty Winnipeg.
Which
sounds like a four at a bar.
That joke kills in Winnipeg. I haven't tried it out in Regina,
A dirty Winnipeg is when someone shits just on the base of your balls. I don't know
is
why.
Is that true?
I don't know why. I just feel like that's what that would be. That's a dirty Winnipeg.
Dirty Winnipeg.
Just on the bottom part of your balls.
Shits on the base of your balls. Well, how does this work? Like, what's the position you're in?
Well, to get shit on the
bottom of your balls.
I haven't done it. I'm just telling you what that probably is. Okay. I don't know. And you're not allowed to smear it. They have to go completely.
No, of course, you're not allowed to smear it.
Yeah, it just has to go completely.
You have to turn the smearing off.
Yep.
Ha 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 ha
I saw you at the Titanfall game thing.
Yes, I saw you too. We did not converse.
Here's the thing, Will. Yeah. We've never really met, and I'm very shy about going up to people because I don't like bothering people, and I don't ever...
Well, I dislike strangers.
Oh, yes. Well, this works. No, that's not... And I'm always worried that I'm going to go up and go, hey, I'm Chris, and you're going to do the podcast soon, and then not knowing you, you might be like, oh, well, that's interesting. I'm talking to my friends and playing a game. I never like to assume anything, and so I just don't like to bother people.
Oh, but you know what's strange about that? Think about it. Like, if we were... if you were for a medical supply company, and mm-hmm. I was a doctor, and we lived in Indianapolis, yeah. and you would
I already
say,
like the scene you've said.
Do you like it?
I really do. I'm like...
I have no idea what
cold.
Happens
it's
in
cold.
The second
it's
act!
Cold.
We have a premise. We're pitching this in an hour. Come on, guys.
Traffic's crazy. A lot of semis around. I'm going to see you guys. You guys.
All
are
I know is that he hits
go.
The gym, and he starts getting back in shape, and there's like a whole
okay,
montage.
Good. There's a fish out of water, but then he conforms,
sure.
and then, okay, I like it. He gets the girl.
I think we can make this movie for about $1 billion. So you're going
to
back it?
Oh, my friend used to want to make a movie, and he said that the budget was $1 billion. And he said, it's because it takes place on the face of the moon. And I was like, what is the movie? And he's called, well, put it this way. It's titled Sporticus. So I feel it's like a hybrid between like some kind of sport, you know, some kind of gladiator.
On the moon.
Gladiator come sporting.
I love it.
You know, I don't know. But anyway, back to the scene. We're in Indy. Okay.
Yeah. You were in Indy. We're in
Medical
Supply.
We're in a suburb of Indy,
yeah,
to be
sure.
fair. We're
understood.
Just outside.
Understood.
We're not.
Understood. You're not.
Not,
in the not Indy proper.
No, not Indy proper. And
you still got cold season tickets, though.
Sure. Of course. No. Of course. We're doing okay. I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
I think I already said that.
Medical Supply Company guy.
He was a supply company, yeah. but secretly he's addicted to painkillers.
Oh, no.
I'm not ready
Does
to face it
he need you
yet?
To write prescriptions? Is this what's happening?
I've been doing it.
Oh, my God.
You know, my back still hurts.
Yeah,
I know
and
it seems crazy.
His bum knee.
Yeah, my knee's bad and my back hurts and it's all connected. And so, you know, I'm fine. I'll let you know if it's a problem.
I didn't know that it was a problem until he showed up on an episode of Cops, and I saw him getting busted.
You're watching reruns on G4.
And
right?
the crazy thing was,
I'm watching at 11 o'clock at night because I just watched an episode
yeah,
Friends of
Friends. Is over. You got nowhere to go. You see Cops. I'm gonna watch
they
it.
They were wrong about that, by the way. I was just there watching them arrest someone else.
Sure.
And I was trying to help. Uh-huh. And then, because I felt invincible,
sure,
I had this pill shield, which made me invincible. And then they got crazy, and so it wasn't me.
No.
I took my shirt off to help them cuff the guy's hands with my shirt.
Have you watched it?
No.
It's not like that at all.
Well, I was getting
you
a dirty
were aggressive.
Winnipeg.
You were aggressive. You actually had smeared shit on the cops.
Yep.
And then
you
said,
took off,
that's a dirty Winnipeg.
Which, by the way, which...
It's just collateral
evidently
damage.
You took off your own balls, which you swore that you would never do.
Yeah. I don't, but
yeah.
you
yeah.
swore
like,
you would
no
never
smearing,
smear
no
it.
No smearing, no smearing.
Oh, oh I thought you meant
sudden,
I think
the quote was that you were it would be smear would be off.
Yeah.
The smear
yeah.
would be off.
Yeah, smear.
Okay. So yeah. the way that I was about to yes and that is that I thought you said I took off my own ball. I removed my own balls. You said you were saying
well,
I took the shit off my balls.
You'd remember that.
I thought I removed my balls, which
you're
is another reason
addict.
I need the pain pills.
You're a drug addict.
My balls are where I keep my pills.
And your testimony obviously goes. I mean, all of this goes.
Objection.
Yeah,
I object, Your Honor.
You can't object, Your
well,
Honor.
Well, I object to that,
Chris. The point is,
all
when
right,
you're walking,
that?
You're not
over
pushing.
Rule, no. Matt. Over fucking rule.
Permission to treat the witness as hostile.
I'm not hostile. I'm flying on pills. I feel amazing right now.
Okay.
Come on, guys. Let's go make a billion.
This goes straight to credibility.
But
were you to run into me at a cocktail party outside of Indy, you'd come up and you'd talk to me.
I would.
Because you'd say, hey, I'm about to be coming and talking to you soon.
I know, but you know that sometimes
got a great deal
on people, in the, medical,
next
people
week.
In the medical profession, people in the medical sales profession may not have the defenses or, you know, it's like people like
doctors
yourself,
don't have people coming after them all the time.
Doctors don't have people coming after them. Going, oh, I love this. I love the
Can
the
I just get
cystoscopy you performed. Yeah. Which is where you shove a scope in a man's pee hole.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what that
that's,
is.
That's
good that you know that. You're a supplier. You know, you should know
I
that.
I assume people come up to you all the time on the street, and I'm sure they shout out Job catchphrases. And
did they just say Job catchphrases?
No, a guy said to me, just Job, and then raised fist.
Like he was in a supportive
way. Is that in passing?
No, and we were walking, and I agreed with him.
Yeah,
I said,
sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
He was friendly enough. Hang on, I just got to crack my neck.
Are you okay?
Oh,
do you need some more pills?
Bad.
No, and you know what? That's fine.
That
actually makes me feel better.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, you look fine. One of your eyes is drooping.
Yeah, oh, that's the bells.
Hey, what's that box full of sand in those shoes? What are you going to do with those?
Great.
I loved Titanfall, by the way. I loved it too. I got killed so hard, so fast, so many times.
I love Titanfall. And I didn't know what it was before. I don't know what that means.
But you play Call of Duty, right?
I do play Call of Duty.
Because I think my friend Matt Kirsch said that he plays
Call of Duty. Oh, right. You're friends with Matt Kirsch.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, put it this way. Will I play it tonight? 2 hours tops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
on the top end.
This is a real thing. Let me look at my phone because I did not go to airplane mode. Sorry.
That's all right. No, well,
let me go and see. There's a good chance that the text chain with the clowns that I play with,
Matty Kirsch.
Let's
hilarious.
See. Yep. Yep. 8 texts from just taunting,
getting ready.
It's all like, how much weed are you on? Have some more of the gummy bears.
Gotcha. Yep.
Are you in a mass text chain where everyone, where as soon as someone sends one out, then you're like, oh fuck, here it comes, and then you brace for the.
We did a recap of last night's session this morning online. We did a fake recap thing because there was so much complaining last night. So there was one of my buddies. Disagrees with how he gets killed all the time.
Sure.
He called everybody's a camper but him.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So he's like, so he's one of those, like, everybody's a camper. Then he got killed by an IED.
It's not camper.
And then he was going, oh God, typical. And then we're like, well, what? You use them too. Then he killed me about a half hour later, and I saw on the kill cam that he waited, as we say, gun trained on an area, just waiting for somebody to. And I said, you know, eventually somebody's going to walk into your scope.
Yeah.
And I said, so that's what you do. I said, you're the biggest hypocrite of all.
He might as well have tied his trash up into a tree because he's camping.
Oh my God!
Look, this is just today. Let me show you what started.
That is a lot of text, and a lot of them are very long.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to write a good description of
it. Then there are people doing trademark on UGG. UGG trademark.
TM.
TM. TM. Yeah. Then somebody's score. Then I with the you know, the whatever musical notes. I'm simply the best, better than the rest.
Yeah.
Specifically Lightning.
Yeah, of course. You want us to know that you're singing it.
Then somebody's score from last night, 6 and 28, copyright, 6 and 28.
Registered. Yeah, because now it's registered.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Have the lawyers of this group been like, guys, stop. We can't trademark this. This is untrademarkable.
But the lawyers don't say stop because these guys, the billable hours they're getting on this text chain are through the roof.
Will, this is how you're going to make your $1 billion. You're going to trademark UGG. Every time someone utters the word UGG, you're going to make Jimmy Burrow.
I claimed on Twitter recently that, well, I say recently, 6 months ago, that UGG was is the new meh.
I guess it is. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do feel like meh is a non-emotion and ugh is a ugh. Like, ugh is exasperation, where I feel like meh is a meh. You're not I don't even want to emote.
Meh is so lame on so many levels. I think it's so lame. And the moment that you let meh escape, you've completely revealed yourself.
So, as a president of the internet, are you ejecting those people as well?
Oh, anybody with a meh, please. It takes everything I have to not write just z to most people.
Right.
So who are clearly just looking for reaction. I don't mean most people. I mean most people who are looking for a reaction.
Right.
It's like,
well, it's it's, they love to do it. I think meh is popular because it immediately being dismissive with one word immediately allows you to undermine how much thought and work someone's put into something, so you can just be like, meh.
Yeah.
Like, come on, at least. If you hate it, at least react at the same level of the work that was put in.
Sure. But they can't. They're incapable.
That's right.
So it's absurd to even engage.
They're empty shells.
Do you engage people on Twitter?
I do, but I engage in a very...
I try not to.
In a very human way. I find that attacking people back never does anything, and so I just say, oh, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, or I'll sort of, you know...
Does the block button count as engaging?
I don't block because I feel like that actually creates more satisfaction. And here's the other thing.
I think you're right.
I worry that if I only surround myself with people that are saying nice things to me, that that's not a good thing. I keep the negative. I don't block the people because I still feel like I need sometimes, like, that's how you stay in check, is having people go, hey, that thing you did sucked. Whether or not I agree with them, it still reminds me that I have to focus and stay on my game.
I think that you're right. You have to, if you're going to believe the good stuff that's written about, you have to believe the bad stuff. And
right.
that's certainly true. I've always adhered to that as a performer. And I think that it's the same rules apply for Twitter.
I don't know how I was not.
It's a sentence that it uttered 10 years ago. I'd be like, what are you talking? What does that mean?
Now, Will, pulled up your Twitter. I was like, oh, why am I not following Will Arnett? Let me do that.
It's lame, right?
But he's also trademarked.
Yes.
Your trademark.
Will Arnett, trademark.
I am coming off airplane mode to also follow at Arnett Will.
Yeah.
On the tweets.
It's good stuff. It's a lot of, these days, it's a lot, well, here we go. Xbox.
Yeah, sure.
I'm partying with them. Let's see if they're following me. Does Xbox, no, they're not even following me.
Jason Bateman's sponsor is your bio.
Yeah.
Well, someone has to.
Xbox follows almost 19,000 people, not me. They're tweeting about me.
Do you want to report them as spam?
I'm just gonna say that they sent a thing out. Clearly, they want me to like retweet it.
Yeah, sure, but no, they're not.
If you don't follow me.
No,
how dare you?
That's the rule. At least have the decency to follow me before you ask me to do something.
Well, that's the thing.
Have the decency.
I get annoyed at the Boston Red Sox for following thousands of people and not me.
But would you feel like you're less special if they're following thousands of people?
I'm gonna feel like at least they care enough. You. Thank you, Will. I appreciate that.
Followed you, Arnett Will. I'm just Nerdist, N-E-R-D-I-S-T.
Yeah, let's see.
It'd be great if he was like, well, I'm not going to follow you.
How many followers does he have? Let's see what's going on.
Too many.
It's one time I realized that Boy George was following me.
No. That's pretty good.
And I got pretty psyched up because I'm like, hey, Boy George, I like Culture Club, ironically.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. But he's following like tens of thousands of people.
Oh.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How many, who was your favorite follow that you ever got? What was the biggest thrill you got?
Oh, it was probably someone initially like Neil deGrasse Tyson or Weird Al or someone that I
You got Neil deGrasse Tyson to follow you? He follows 53 people. That's pretty good.
I feel like he does.
I hope he does.
I think he does.
Listen, Gordon Ramsay. That for me was a big deal.
Gordon Ramsay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not bad.
Did you get Bill Simmons? You're a Boston guy. Does Bill Simmons follow you?
No. Bill does not follow me. Everybody around him at Grantland follows me.
We had one of the Grantland guys on the podcast today earlier.
Which guy?
Jonah Carey.
Baseball writer.
I don't know, Joe.
He's really funny and really cool. Also Canadian. Montreal, though.
Montreal, yeah.
Yeah.
But friendly. I should say that. I didn't mean it that way.
But I will say this.
Judgy Montreal.
Like, sure.
Yeah.
He just wrote a book that comes out at the end of March about the Expos. Called Up, Up, and Away, the entire history of the Expos.
What a bummer. You know, the Expos, they had the chance to build that small stadium downtown, Jerry Park, and they should have done it. What a great franchise they had.
Yeah.
And it's such a bummer that they got rid of that. And it would have been a real boon to the city of Montreal. And it was a missed opportunity. You know, obviously they spent all those years playing at the Olympic Stadium way out in the middle of nowhere. And I just, to all those people who turned it down in Montreal, I say, "Steep that out knock."
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but fuck them. Right?
Is that dialectical French?
Most French Canadian swear words are based on, you know, they revolve around, you know, biblical or church, you know, artifacts and stuff.
Oh.
Like chalice, which is like the chalice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tabernacle is tabernacle. That's like a big swear word. Tabernacle.
Oh,
that's
really?
Like, fuck. Yeah.
Like holy, like saying holy
shit. Tabernacle. Yeah, everybody's like, Jesus, keep it down, man. Don't say tabernacle. No. Are you out of your mind?
You're saying a thing.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like those exclamatory swears were if someone were going to make fun of what they thought a French Canadian swear would be.
For sure.
Tabernacle. Charlize,
it's like Rene Levesque, who used to be the premier, who was, you know, the big separatist in Quebec. He's like the guy that you would think of if you were going to do a sketch on French Canadians.
Listen to me, my name rhymes with Quebec.
Rene Levesque. If you can, you pull up a photo of Rene Levesque.
I mean, he's, can't wait.
God rest his soul. He's been. Rene is R-E-N-E-E, and the Levesque is L-E-V-E-S-Q-U-E. Levesque.
Wow.
I think, maybe.
E-S-Q-U-E.
Once you get in Rene,
yeah, it's going to
pop
it's
up.
Gonna come in.
Did it come up?
Yeah. Rene Levesque.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? That's it. That's
oh,
it,
yeah. That's cigarette. It. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Oh, he's
love
so
it.
French, it hurts.
Man, right? No, he's French Canadian.
He's French Canadian.
That's French Canadian.
And he was the first, like, he was like the legitimate, you know, wanted to separate. You know,
he looks like
back
a real...
when they were putting Canada together, you know, Quebec was voted as the province most likely to secede.
Nice. Nice.
This is terrible.
No, I'm full support.
It's terrible. I just
imagined watching him back in at the comedy bar in Toronto, just watching him from the back row and just hearing a cough.
No, I think that would do well in Toronto, actually. I think
it would.
I'll let you know.
It would. they'd kill me.
I love the thing.
They'd kill me in Toronto for that.
Let's break that down a little bit. I want to deconstruct that because I love the idea. Is that
I feel like I've told that joke. I know I've told it before, but I feel like I've done it once.
The simplest way to get to that is like, so when they were putting Canada together, like when there were just people just going, let's make a Canada.
Yeah,
they were organizing it.
Well, I'll take it. I always take it a step further. I always imagine them at you know, it's like. It's senior year of provincial high school. Yeah. When all the provinces.
We're all going to graduate into full provinces.
What's grad night like there?
Did you guys ever watch? Did you guys ever watch?
Vancouver stoned again.
Yeah.
Totally missed the fucking.
Vancouver's the stoner. Ontario is kind of the nerd.
Sure.
Quebec's the hot chick.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Who won't talk to you, but you want to have sex
with
her.
By the way, Montreal, like Quebec and Montreal has really women. Beautiful women. Beautiful. You know that, right?
No,
yeah.
I agree.
After all your shit talk.
Yeah. No, I'm not shit talk. I'm not. And also, I talked about this with, I was doing the Just for Laughs last year or the year before. And
Juste pour rire.
Juste pour rire.
Yeah.
And I was walking down the street with Garfunkel and Oates, and someone, I found this to be a very respectful heckle, but the window rolled down and a guy said to Ricky Lindholm, "Excuse me, do you have a husband?" Which I thought was a very respectful catcall. He asked if she had a husband.
Yeah.
Which it's sort of marginalizing in terms of genders. Why does she have to have a husband?
Well, but
are you in the monogamous relationship?
Mosher and I went to this bar in Montreal at Just for Laughs called Vinyl, which is, I believe, now closed, but it's like an offshoot. And the bartender.
Well, it's obsolete.
Yeah, it was just us. Yeah, Vinyl's obsolete. I don't know why they would do that.
Sorry.
But it sounds way better, you guys.
I know, man. I know.
Seriously.
I know. It's back.
You're compressed with it. Was, you're not hearing everything.
It was just us.
Enough.
Oh, my God.
Enough on the Vinyl.
I'm sorry.
And enough on your ironic bicycle. Enough.
It's a penny farthing bike. It's really cool. One was bigger than the back one.
No, I kind of like Vinyl.
All right.
Sorry.
But we were in there, and it was just this female bartender, very attractive female bartender. It was just, we were the only two patrons in there, and she just proceeded to tell us about the wonders of being a male in Montreal.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying, kids, is go to Montreal.
And she's like, let me give you an example and just made out with you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she said girls will straight up suck your dick.
Straight up?
Yeah.
Wait, straight up suck your dick?
Those are the words
straight
she used.
Are you
with a French accent.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes.
Well, first of all, you know, how reckless of her
giving away the secrets.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing this in Montreal?
Montreal. I mean, you know, have podcast will travel. I think it's a...
I can't...
This goes in one suitcase.
Right?
We already would have gotten like 9 T-blow jobs apiece.
At least. Especially for throwing around billions of dollars.
If they straight up do it.
Straight up do it.
Straight up. And then she also explained to us that after the bar closed, if we were to come back in about an hour, it would be a Coke bar.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where you would get Coke... blowjobs.
I guess so. Yeah, sure.
Just runny nose.
Oh, God.
I would Wolf of Wall Street
don't
that.
An hour after closing, this place is so bleak. I can't imagine how bleak it is. You'll be depressed for weeks.
I never thought you could get depressed by a blowjob, but if you come back...
Oh, this will put you off
life. You never thought that I could be depressed by a blowjob? You haven't met me, young lady.
Stop critiquing it. Just let it happen.
Did you guys ever watch Xavier Renegade Angel?
No.
But it sounds awesome.
What is that? Is this some Canadian magic that we've missed?
No, it's maybe one of my favorite television programs of all time. It makes certain friends of mine. I'm very good friends with television and films, John Krasinski.
Sure.
And it makes Krasinski, he tears up. He's so disturbed by it. It's really fucked up. And it's... Vernon Chapman, John Lee, the guys who did Wonder Shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They did it for Adult Swim a few years ago. They did two seasons of it. Xavier Angel.
How did I miss this?
Xavier Renegade Angel.
I mean, I think Wonder Shows is one of the best.
It is. Has the most jokes per square inch of any piece of filmed entertainment I've ever seen. The animation is like a low rent video game interstitial animation. He plays a guy with a. There he is.
Oh no! Yes,
and it will blow your mind.
All right, I have a new thing to get through.
You have no idea how excited I am to
you
watch
that. No, there's an episode where he ends up shooting. Using a shotgun to shoot tampons into the sky to stop God's heavy flow. And I'm not going to tell you how it gets there, but it's a fucking roller coaster ride. It's so disturbing.
I'm genuinely excited.
Katie, you're just wincing excited at the picture.
I have yet to meet a woman who enjoys it.
I dare you.
I would say it's. But what made me think of it is there is an episode in that. In fact, that episode is titled Bloodcorn. And I'm a really avid fan of this. In that episode, there's a moment where I forget how they get there, but it ends up like there's a classroom of all the planets, and Earth is in and being ridiculed by all the planets from the solar system. It's so fucked up.
Oh my God, this sounds amazing. I cannot believe I missed this.
I'm excited. Well, it aired on Adult Swim in Canada.
It aired on Adult Swim here. There is no Adult Swim. All swimming's for adults in Canada,
guys. Come on, guys. Why would they even delineate? They just call it swimming.
I don't even know why.
Yeah, it's just swimming. It's always adults.
No
kids
reason.
Don't even swim in Canada, I don't think, right?
They do not.
No, they ice skate.
That's right. They know what to do when water's hard.
They can't
hard.
Swim. Yeah, the water's too hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like your $5 bill is adorable. It's got a family going out to play hockey on the back of it.
So the money
new money. I mean, it's
I didn't even
really
spend it. I was like, this is great.
It is a...
Your Coinbase currency is like a ball whacker. Like to have a pocket full of loonies and toonies just smacking against the side of your.
Well, it pales in comparison to the British pound.
Yeah,
yeah.
The British pound. You got to reinforce your pockets. I mean, that's
also. I would also always would be tipping so much money, not realizing that this was a dollar.
Why?
Well,
that's part of the
$1.75.
Why was the choice made? If you our currency. All of the presidents, and then also the non-president,
Franklin.
Ben Franklin, look so sour and just like, and it's just like, it's such a sad color of green, this hue. Everything about American money is a fucking bummer.
Well, that new 100's pretty nice.
Why can't they smile?
I haven't seen it. I don't, you know.
You don't spend, it's all out of your,
It all comes out of your $2 billion PayPal account.
Yeah, my slush. My
The slush B. Yeah. Bill took too long. You're right. Slush B.
I'd buy a jet so fast.
Well, of course you would.
Right? Wouldn't you?
Of course you would.
That's a good chunk of your change, though.
Yeah, I know. You're
for
right.
a bill? No.
Yeah.
If you had a bill.
How much is
a Gulfstream G5? G4, rather. There's no G5.
I mean, it's got to be. It's just a couple $100 million. I mean, you still have a ton.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but if you have
that's
a
still a chunk. You're
wait, is this coming out
take,
of the slush bill or is this coming
me to
out?
Take $10, break off two of that, and give it away just for a plane.
But you could go anywhere. You could go anywhere in it. So, are you taking that out of the slush B or like the other B?
The initial B.
$7 million.
$7 million.
What the fuck are we doing
you
here?
Get 10
for
of them.
A G4. Guys,
we could pull our money.
What are we doing now? Oh, well,
okay, no, I don't...
Wait, by who? 15. By who?
15. It doesn't say.
15?
But they have a pre-owned section.
And every G4 in the pre-owned model has come on it.
I'm
like
no
every
longer...
Every single one, because people do awful, wonderful things.
Remind myself to buy a G4 next week on Wednesday.
Here's your reminder for the 19th of March. 2014 at 9 a.m.
Is that Jeremy Clarkson?
Obvi.
I don't understand. Continue. Here's your reminder for the 19th of March.
Okay.
It just went ahead and did it.
So I have a confession to make. Why I can't believe this came up, and I've forgotten that my Siri. I had it
Your
switched
phone is
to
from,
a. Du- I had it switched to a,
switch to a
English
dude.
Guy.
Yeah,
sir.
I like the idea of having a Batman. My grandfather served in the Canadian. He was the Canadian service. He was stationed with the British with the Royal Air Force. He was in intelligence, obviously.
Is your grandfather James Doohan?
My grandfather was Winston Churchill.
What? Yeah. This is amazing. Is
this, have you told anyone this before?
I missed his Canadian period.
This is really
not
amazing that you kept this under wraps for
not
so long.
Soul. I haven't told a soul. But I decided, and he...
I hope you don't end up looking like him.
He informed... He lived to be 95.
Nice.
You know what he did? He took a nap every afternoon. He got in the sheets. Pajamas, clothes off, pajamas off, pajamas on, even during the war. In the sheets.
Sure.
So he committed to everything in life.
Yeah.
Even the nap.
Yeah. And he smoked cigars or whatever. And he lived to be like 95 or 90 or something. Winston Churchill.
Yeah. I think he was a 215. I think he was like 215 years old.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm, I do.
That sounds
his
a little high.
Face told the story. I mean, like, it really, there were a lot of. He lived every one of those years.
Yeah.
Hard.
Blood, sweat, toil, and tears. That's a famous, that's one of his speeches.
Yeah.
Right? And yet, no, the truth is I just switched that because I wanted it to sound like an English dude.
It sounds cooler that way.
It is. Why not?
He was 90.
Wow.
Well, 95. I'm close. I mean,
yeah, you're close.
Sorry.
5 years.
Well, I guess it was closest without going over. So
half a day.
You win the showcase showdown.
I have three grandparents who lived over 90.
Wow.
I don't know if our generation will live as long because of all the chemicals and
yeah,
things.
Yeah, but I think we're going to find ways around it.
Yeah.
Keep hoping that medicine's going to catch up to us by the time we're 70.
Yeah.
Oh, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're so close. We're so, so close. You know, I know so little about this topic.
that should not stop
well,
you from talking
about it. Well, as a doctor in Indianapolis,
and
I
it doesn't
like,
stop me
doesn't
from
stop anyone
it
on the internet
stop me from
talking
having
about it.
10,000 yard stare.
Nope.
Before I address it.
Nope.
I want you guys to know that when it comes to this subject, I know so little.
Mm-hmm.
And then full stop.
And then just right there.
And
then nothing.
What's going to happen?
But I do feel like advances in medical science, that's part of the reason that I continue to smoke from time to time.
Yeah. Thank
Is
you.
That you're just
Thank
hoping you. That you'll...
They've just grown a lung in a lab.
Yeah,
so
they have done it. They did
we're
do
like,
it.
We're like 10 years away from me needing a
new
lung
out.
And getting
you
one.
You should be able to print
this
out.
This is what we're doing with the money. This is what we're doing with the money.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
If my life was exactly the same as it is now... But I knew there was a lung waiting for me.
Oh, my God.
You know what would be a bummer, though?
Forget it.
Fine.
You'd spend the B trying to reverse the aging process and find it at the end that we won't be able to do that, and then
I just want a replaceable respiratory system.
Yep.
That's but you also don't want to get... You don't want your exterior to get super old while you have really strong lungs.
Well,
you want everything to
It doesn't matter. I'm just going
to
live life
like
that.
I feel
like
we're going to be able to plug into... you know, we're going to be able to regenerate our cells, like our skin, all that kind of stuff. We're able to...
By the time we're...
We're good.
Yeah, like in... Like in the one Elysium.
Yeah.
We're just getting that machine.
We're
going to
be up there. We're going to be up there.
Just print out.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, and just like totally redo everything.
Oh, I can't wait to throw Harrison
Ford
in there.
Me too. I love that guy, Charlotte Copley.
Charlotte Copley, yeah.
Love that dude.
Yeah.
Prawns. He's just kick ass.
Prawns.
Prawns.
The prawns.
I like that. I like the way the South Africans talk, mate. I love the way they talk, Prue.
Maybe we should give him a billion.
Give Charlton Copley?
I'd give it to him.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's good. I think he's talented. I'd give it to him.
I didn't even
so you
think
would just
about
give,
it.
So, okay. So you could like,
and I've only seen
a lot
him
of
two,
hungry people.
I've
you're
going
to give your $1 billion to Charlton Copley.
No, no, it's not.
Not only
no,
that.
No, this is just from the big stockpile we have.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Not only
right.
that, there was a time a few years back where he and I were up for a very similar part, and there was a lot of lobbying, but there was a guy who at the time did not want me to have that part, and he got it. Over me.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And I was good friends with the guy who was the lead, and he wanted me to play this part in his movie, and Charlton got it. And I think he's great enough that I still give him the B.
That's a good, you know, you're a good sport.
It's a good barometer right there.
You're a good fucking sport there.
Yeah.
Do you?
I feel like I'm a big person, and I feel like big people don't say that.
No. They're going to tell you.
Yep.
Enough. They should say it enough.
Enough.
A big person should tell you when they're... How else
Sorry,
are you going to know?
Sorry, I was just
know?
Choking there for
a
second.
Yeah, I know. So you had to swallow. But, but how else would people know if you didn't tell them?
That's absolutely...
Do you live pretty healthily in general?
I do. I do live quite healthily. Apart from the occasional. I essentially quit smoking a year ago, and then I went to Europe right before Christmas.
Oh, that's going to do it every
I
time.
I challenge you to quit smoking. Nobody's ever successfully, and this is a fact, you can look it up, nobody's ever successfully quit smoking in Paris.
Not one person.
Not one
take
person
a look.
Ever.
Take no. a look. Not yeah, up there.
Especially if you've just quit. Like, it's the, every, the textbooks will say, stay out of Europe.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and, for at least 5 years.
Yeah. Also,
so other than that, yeah. healthily, I don't drink yeah. or do drugs, and it's been a long time since I've done that.
I read a little bit about you. I think you and I quit around the same time.
Is that right? 2000.
2003. So you had me by yeah. you had me by a couple of
that's
years.
That's when you guys left fun, huh? All right. That's cool.
Fun. We're going to look good in when we're 70 though. And then on top of that, medical science.
Yeah. Absolutely true. And you don't smoke. Well, you have
I
the,
don't.
You have the
yeah,
advantage
no,
of that.
I don't.
Good for you.
But I do think that
that felt really half-hearted.
It's really funny when if people look at you and they go, oh my God, you're how old? Well, how do you look okay? How do you look okay? It's like, well, it's not that hard. You just try not to poison your body with stuff yeah. and you don't, it helps.
Absolutely. Wait, how old a gentleman are you?
42.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you do look good for 42.
All right. Yeah. We're around the same. We're almost
I'm
40.
I'm 43. Yeah, I'm yeah. 43. I'm oh, about to be 44.
Your birthday is Star Wars Day, May the 4th.
May the 4th. Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
That's a good birthday.
It is pretty good.
Your parents didn't know that when you were born because Star Wars wasn't out yet, but fuck, it all came around.
They still don't know. My parents have zero idea. Star Wars had zero impact on their lives. None at all.
It's interesting to think about. Yeah,
if we called my parents right now and we asked them and we said, who was the name of the bad guy in Star Wars? My dad would say, well, geez, Willie, I, gosh, I don't
You got
and that'd
me.
Be it. What kind of weather are you having out there?
It's dark. It's dark. Dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Dark.
Yeah, it's dark.
Trying to help him.
And I vaguely.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have no idea. My parents were very.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up.
Nowhere and everywhere.
My family moved a lot. The chunk of it was Memphis. A big chunk of it was Memphis, and then
Wait. The Blind Side was written about you, right?
Yeah, it's all about me.
Yeah,
I was in a private
school
football
program.
That
was so nice of you.
Different.
It was so nice of you.
In
yeah.
the book.
Well, it was really nice of you to yeah. adopt that black child.
Yeah.
Oh, you adopt? I thought you were okay.
Well, yeah. I said adopted. Yeah. Okay, again, yeah. taking it back to Star Wars, just like what Ben says to Luke in the first one. When I said that
I've
he
never
murdered,
seen the picture.
Murdered your
I'm sorry,
father.
Never,
oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I've never seen the picture.
Well, then he becomes, like, he thinks he killed, but then it turns out he is the, and the same thing with the Blind Side.
Yeah, I understand.
I said I adopt, I was the
yeah.
actual.
Got
so
it.
That
yeah.
is
yeah.
the, that's how I yeah. retconned that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will's actually the basis of Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah.
The whole story.
The woman.
Well, the woman and, well, her just being outraged.
Yeah.
That was
based,
it.
Based on a true story.
They saw me outraged yeah. by somebody.
But we should do something with that.
Instead yeah. of like power lines and people getting sick, it was the meh. He was like.
I had to wait for a table. Here, let me set the scene.
All right, good.
I'm at Jelena in Venice and it's a Friday night. It's tough to get a table at Jelena.
Sure.
Very hard, yeah. Venice is just, at this point, Venice is just starting to come back.
Venice is just coming back.
Yeah. Abbot Kinney's a mess.
Abbott, and yes, it was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
A veritable mess.
Yep.
And so we were biking back from the paddle tennis courts.
Mm-hmm.
And we're landing at Jelena.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I can't discuss this any further.
What? Yeah. That's it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there? So because of the
well,
story
a,
and the deal
a,
with the
he
studio,
signed
you're not
the, he signed.
Oh, he signed the document. Yeah.
I signed a non-disclosure. Yeah. An ND.
You're allowed. A. It said actually specific language. It said you're allowed to say you landed here.
That's why
but
they
go
call
no
him.
Further.
That's why they call him ND Arnett. Like yeah. he starts a yeah. story and then he can never.
They call
a story.
Me NDA.
Yeah, non-disclosure Arnett.
Yeah,
he can never finish a story because yeah. of all the NDAs. He's
yeah,
seen.
Yeah.
What about that time you last
know,
summer you went
you
to
Cape
Cod?
I feel badly for is my kids.
Yeah, why?
Because I can never finish yeah. a story.
Ever,
I can never
ever,
finish
ever.
A book.
Yeah,
done. Guys, I can't. I'm sorry,
but you don't even. This isn't even a story that you wrote.
I don't know what's going to happen to Sam.
Hey, listen, man. This we live in an era. We live in an era of you know where it's so litigious out there, and I'm not going to expose myself.
No, I guess you can't
to these slime balls.
Yeah. You know? That's just smart.
Yeah, it's good business.
You're just trying to make sure that
might as well call
protected.
Him Will Smartnet. I mean, it's just that's
oh, okay.
Good.
Okay, wait. This is this is a friendship morality question.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, so because of what you do, you're friends with actors and producers and writers who work on things.
Sure.
Have you ever been in a situation where someone started to tell you something and then they're like, "Oh, I can't tell you the rest," but you felt like, "Are we not good enough friends that you could just tell me this thing?" And you sort of felt like, "Oh, am I on the outside of your inner circle?" Or do you respect the NDA?
I can't remember having ever been closed out, being shut out of it. You have to understand, as a celebrity, everybody wants to be your friend.
Of course.
And so they want to give me every... No, that's...
You have to go... Well, speaking as a celebrity, I'm constantly inundated... I can't say anymore.
No, that's right. That's what I should have...
As the one-time possible voice of Knight Rider.
Yeah. We will get into that.
Oh!
But yeah, of course. Well, look, in any workplace, you get that all the time. Which is, I've had lots of like people know where they'll say... You know, it is such a small community, so it's more like people start to they start to piece together like, oh wait, shit, you might be friends with that person. Right. So I do get that a lot.
Oh yeah.
Where people you see them kind of bail out of telling, they don't maybe tell you, but they kind of bail out of telling you the whole story. They're
sure.
Like, so I just went, and then they're like, anyway, yeah, no, and you're like, well, wait a second, there's more to it. You were about to tell me.
No,
something.
I wasn't. I yeah. had to go.
Yeah.
But you're still standing.
And there are a lot. There's you have to do this. People do this a lot. They're like, "Are you friends with them?"
And
you go, "No, I'm not friends." Oh, great. So listen,
you're not going
to
tell me.
I have tried to remove myself from gossip for obvious reasons over the last couple of years.
Sure.
I've really tried to separate myself from gossip. It is such a terrible endeavor.
But at
endeavor.
The workplace.
Well, obviously, at workplace, I talk about everybody.
Yeah, because if you're not gossiping about other people, then you have to ask people about their own lives and get involved. Like,
hey, I really do try to not engage.
I
really do try to not engage.
Yeah, I mean, as a celebrity, you don't want to ask too many questions about someone because then they feel like, yes. You don't want to. What is the Knight Rider story?
Well, he was almost.
I was
going
to do it. I recorded it. But one of the big. You know, the big sponsor of the show was Ford, and the Kit was going to be the car. At least I was going to be the voice of Kit, and the car was going to be a Mustang, and it was their new refresh a few years ago. My God, I'm at least probably 7 years ago. I think it was that, yeah. And I've been the voice of GMC trucks for a long time, and there was a conflict there.
Oh.
And of course, but you know what? For me, there was never once that became evident that they were then I immediately like of course backed down because of my loyalty to GMC and theirs to me. It's been a great.
By the way, I mean the original Kit was a GM car. It was a
Trans Am.
Come on,
yeah,
come on.
And William Daniels,
yeah,
and William Daniels.
Do you remember any of the?
And William Daniels,
who
was the judge of the faux Olympic committee in Blades of Glory.
Oh, it's all coming together. Oh, my
trade
God.
Trade stories about Kit stories? Or no, did that not
Kit stories?
No, I never met him.
Now I have to get all James Lipton to like, Will, I'd like to talk to Kit for a moment, if I may. Please,
I know.
If I could please just... I wonder if anyone's been like, no. I don't want to do that because I'm not a fucking puppet. Why are you trying to make me perform on your stage? Just talk to me like a human being, James Lipton.
The best, you know, Lipton, I've had some, James Lipton, I've had some interactions with him over the last 10 years because of Arrested. And I really do enjoy Mr. Lipton. He's an interesting character and he's had an interesting life. But he once, truly, he's... I mean, you think about that show, the cultural impact.
Why are you doing a hand dick-sucking motion?
Are you out of your mind?
Why would you do that?
Why would you say
that? Well, you start talking about two things, and then you were doing
why
a thumbs
are you,
down.
Are you out
why
of your
are
mind?
You doing?
What kind of a maniac?
Why are you trying to put these motions on Will?
Well, I thought, okay, you start talking about two
things. Do you have Tourette's? Are you saying, give me a...
This is not how Tourette's expresses itself.
Chris, this is embarrassing. Will is our
don't
guest.
Don't blurt out full
Listen,
ideas.
Again, you haven't really said exactly where you're from, kind of Memphis, but I'm... maybe in Memphis, smiling is a universal sign for dick
smiling
sucking.
While you were like doing a hand motion where like an air dick was going in your mouth while you're talking about
James.
What the fuck is an air dick? Anyway,
first of all. Okay, so
what is an air dick?
Yeah, what is an air dick?
It's the model up from the G4.
So
Mac Dick Air.
Really aerodynamic.
Yeah. But he years ago we did a stage reading of Arrested Development. It was for the Emmy voters the first year we'd been on, the first summer, and James Lipton moderated the panel in we're out in West LA at this theater, and I had just a couple weeks before seen him interviewed by Tom Cruise on his own show. Tom Cruise came out, and it, you know, is very sort of cheeky that Tom Cruise did the interview, sure. And it was just titillating for Mr. Lipton. And so anyway, Tom Cruise asked him the questionnaire, and I remembered James Lipton's answers. So he went around through the cast of Arrested, and he asked, you know, some of the questions, and he asked me, and I did it again recently when we did Inside the Actors Studio for Arrested Development, and he didn't really I don't think he remembered, and I've had lots of interactions with him between, but I did it again, and the question was, what occupation other than the one you currently are in would you go into? And I gave his verbatim answer which was so great. The first time it was 2 weeks after it aired.
You're expecting him to like just see the recognition in his eyes and go like,
well,
oh,
the first time he did, he gave me kind of like a little, you know, tip of the hat. And I said, that's easy, dancer, but with one proviso, that I never get injured and I never get old. And then I just stared at him.
Did the audience have any idea?
Kind of or no. Not really. It was all. It was just all for him.
And the second time, no. He's over 80 now.
I guess, yeah.
Is he?
He is.
Wow. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, he is an octogenarian at this point.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he... It was we taped that show down at wherever it was, and it took it was a long process.
I imagine.
This has been an amazing conversation. So we're all getting $1 billion and giving
a
B.
Will's got two because he's got one.
He's got a Will's just the one B.
Let me put it this way: I'm only keeping a B.
Yeah, we've got a billion. Yeah.
I'm giving that other B is going away to.
Well, you gave it to Charlotte Copley.
Let me say this. I'll Copley to this.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Do you want to play good Copley, bad Copley?
I would love to.
All right. My partner is going to be very... I'm doing French-Canadian accent.
What the fuck?
Shut up. Just let it happen, Matt. I couldn't pull up his accent right away.
You could have gone Boston, Copley Square. All right.
Yeah, Copley Square would have been good.
Yeah.
And sorry.
Nope, he's got it.
Just an email.
Let it out. Let it out.
You're emailing.
Let it out. Let it out. Let it out. What are you going to do?
It's an email from Mitch Hurwitz.
Yeah.
If that makes it any better.
I know. I'm really good friends with Jim Vallelie.
Oh, you are?
Who I find to be one of the funniest fucking people to hang out with.
Jim Vallelie is one of the most original comedy minds I've ever encountered. He's incredible. Do you know who Jim Vallelie?
I know who Vallelie, he is, absolutely. Well,
so Vallelie
I've pushed 80s, to get him on this podcast, but this guy's like...
No, I've... You know, listen, Jim's only reluctance for coming on the podcast, because I've talked to him about it, is that... His mouth, his brain is insanely fast, like one of the fastest brains you've ever encountered. And his mouth moves faster than his brain.
You know what he needs? He needs a minder.
He does need a little bit.
I'll come on with Vallelie if you'll get him to come on.
I love it.
I would love to.
Done.
Because what he said to me was like, oh, you know, I've done radio interviews before, and I've said stuff, and I've said stuff, and I it's probably not a good idea. And I go, no, just come on. Well, but going to lunch with Jim Vallelie is worth.
Oh, yeah,
I would pay $1,000 to be able to.
Well,
have
that doesn't mean very much. You have a billion.
No, that's true. But he.
I'd give Vallelie a billion.
He's
like that.
Yes.
I give Jim Vallelie a billion.
I would add a billion. I'm on board. He would have two Bs. Right?
He would say, you know, I spent a lot of time with Jimmy over the last 10 years as well, and you know, on set and in writers' rooms, and he and Mitch and I worked on that the much maligned Running Wild, and et cetera. Jimmy, as Mitch says, he thinks of things, he approaches things from a perspective that's so different from anybody you've ever met. He has such an interesting perspective on comedy. And he's such a completely unique voice. In a time, in a town, and in a time where everything seems so fucking derivative, where everything is all about veneer and attitude.
Yep.
Jimmy is a true, he truly is refreshing.
We pitched a show together a couple seasons
ago.
Did
you really?
Yeah. We went around and pitched, and he was going to be the showrunner, and then, and just the whole process of developing the thing with him was so much fun, and he's just, it was fun. We would have these writing sessions, and I felt like I didn't even do anything. I just listened to him and laughed the entire time. I would love to have Jim on.
Yeah,
great.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that
you guys.
We did. Yeah, we pitched a few years ago. Yeah, I would love that. All right, we'll do this. We'll come back.
If you can get us Mitch too, we'll take him.
Yeah, of course, Mitch can come on.
You've never had Mitch on?
No, and I would love to.
Do you know Mitch?
We were acquainted. If I saw him at a party, I would feel comfortable saying hi.
I would venture to guess that your podcast with Mitch Hurwitz will be the best podcast you'll ever do.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't even know who else you've had on this. Yeah. I think you had Gandhi on here.
We had Gandhi on, and then a couple of the original.
And my grandfather was on here, right?
Was on, and then one
right after the war, right after VE Day.
Yeah,
May 1945. You guys had,
and then one of the Mount Rushmore heads came on.
Yeah, no, the head.
Incredible. I heard he was stone faced though.
Just couldn't get through. Wouldn't talk.
Well,
a lot.
Fuck you, Will. And
how dare you?
How dare you?
There is something to be said for good old fashioned puns.
There's nothing wrong with puns.
This man loves more.
Oh, yeah. The best.
Yeah,
the absolute best.
Do you know Pete Serafinowicz? He's another guy.
Yes, you should have him. Well, Pete's a Londoner though. Is he out here now?
He's coming out here in the next couple of weeks.
I love Pete.
You should have him on.
I would absolutely have Peter Serafinowicz. I Look Around You is one of my
amazing.
Favorite fucking
amazing. He's a brilliant guy. One of the great all time puns. Of all time, he had one of my favorite jokes. Have you ever read his joke book, which is a billion jokes?
No, a B of jokes.
A B of jokes,
no.
and it's like 80 pages long. There are maybe 80 jokes, and it's my favorite joke is of his is there's no I in denial. It's such a perfect joke. It's such a perfect joke.
that reminds me. That to me is on the level of those. Some like, do you remember the Python sketch where the guy
Monty Python?
Yes.
Okay. Good. I thought you meant that sketch in Australia where that Python ate the crocodile.
That
funny pencil drawing I did of that Python.
It was a great Python sketch. It was a great Python sketch.
I do remember.
But why was it
gorgeous?
Flying?
Yeah, it was gorgeous. What have you ever done with your art? You are such a great artist.
Well, Matt's afraid
mother
of success.
Says, man, I just don't. He's I, afraid
don't
of success.
Know. You share it with the world already.
Guys, Matt Myra's Python art deserves to be unleashed on the world like a Python.
Honestly, I'll say, I think I do coils better than anybody.
Let Matt's Python art coil around your heart
and choke
it out.
I feel like I get it all.
And then consume you by unhinging its jaw.
Yeah.
Python, Monty Python sketch.
Well, there's a one sketch.
We're wrapping it up, but I want
to. No, that's fine. It's a one sketch where someone's.
I just have to do this for time. Also, this segment of the podcast is brought to you by Mel's Auto Shop. Mel's Auto Shop been serving the Hollywood area for the last 50 years. Good on you, Mel. You got a free plug. God, I hope there's a Mel's.
No, it's okay. Yeah, no, it's good. Somewhere there's a Mel's.
Sure.
Somewhere there's a Mel's.
So.
It's where they set up the crazy rules where they're buying one guy's buying a mattress and then one of the other pythons is he takes a third of every measurement and then another guy doubles every measurement, so right. It's a lot of like, so you have to understand that when my client when my colleague says 2 feet, he in fact means 60 feet, and it basically just becomes this weird math sketch right. Where they're adding all these different rules and then just carrying out the rules throughout the sketch.
There's something great.
They're so
that.
It's the British humor is so I don't know. It's just so it feels so much smarter than ours.
Well,
but
not all
it's
of it,
also,
though.
But
not
it's also
it.
Dumber.
Mitch Hurwitz pointed out today on the phone that the sort of the dirty flip side to British humor is incredibly silly.
Oh, it's well, it's the I would say that American humor is in between. The smartest British humor and the dumbest British humor.
Yeah.
So, like, really smart British humor is untouchable. And really dumb British humor is like,
Well, I will
Benny
say...
Hill.
Bass.
Benny Hill.
I will say that, this is self-serving and you'll to an extent, and you'll see why. But I'll bring it around.
back to an earlier question or an earlier topic that we're talking about. Fawlty Towers, when it first came out, was a photograph recently. Somebody saw a document, essentially just a the coverage that internally of the BBC of the script or the pitch or whatever it was on Fawlty Towers. And it was so great. And the guy cut it to shreds. He said it wasn't worth it. It was just, it was some sort of derivative bullshit. We've seen it before. These characters, who cares? Boring. And it's so hilarious considering that it's one of the great all-time television programs, right? That was posted online by Paul McGann, who was in my favorite film of all time, With Nail and I, which is my number one. I think is a perfect film. Bruce Robinson is an utter genius.
And Richard E. Grant.
And Richard E. Grant was my favorite follow I've ever had on Twitter.
He followed you.
He followed me a couple weeks ago.
Holy shit.
I didn't even know Richard E. Grant was on Twitter.
And it was an incredible thrill for me.
You have a lot of verve.
Because it's the most influential performance, piece of art, I would say, on my career is Richard E. Grant in With Nell and I.
It's such. I'm sure most of the people who listen to this have watched it, but that was part of the, like, when I was in high school, you know, like the sort of holy grails of movies were Holy Grail, and also With Nell and I, and
Real Genius.
Well, of course, Real Genius. Yeah. No,
How to Get Ahead in Advertising.
How to Get Ahead in Advertising is fucking great.
That's Bruce Robinson as well, who directed With Nell and I.
Oh, that's such a fucking great movie. Yeah. It's The Boil.
Yeah.
That's a fucking great movie. And then the, oh my God, why is my mind blanking? Bud Cort, Ruth Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Harold and Maude?
Yes.
Yeah, Harold and Maude.
Oh, and Harold and Maude. Yeah. And Harold and Maude. Those are the movies, like With Nell and I and Harold and Maude are those two sort of like coming of age journey type of,
without question,
enlightenment, but sad at the same time.
Yeah.
Then so have you met Richard E. Grant, or was just a,
you know, I have. I don't know if
just send him a DM. Thanks for the follow.
I have not yet, because I don't want to bother him.
You don't do that.
Yeah, I don't want to bother him. And I saw him once. I was at the Palm restaurant about a year and a half ago. I'm not here to promote Mitch Hurwitz, but I was with Mitch Hurwitz at the Palm, and Richard E. Grant walked in. And he went and he sat in a two-top by himself. And I've never waited at a table, so I just, but I throw that term around.
Two-top, yeah.
And I've had shittier jobs than waiting at a table, but I never thought I'd be good at it.
It's tough.
It's tough.
Well, you need to know that so you can say, is it okay if I take that four-top?
Yeah. Right, but you did, yeah. And so he went over and he sat by himself, and Mitch said, I didn't really see him. He kind of went by because I had my back turned. Mitch said, Richard E. Grant just walked in. He's sitting over there. I said, oh, my God. And, of course, you know, in this town you see people all the time, whatever, and I don't. And Mitch said, you have to go say something to him. I said, I can't say that. I don't want to bother him. And he said, you have to. He's like, there's nobody who you've talked about more, who is more influential. Just you may never see the guy again. Just do it. It's worth it. And so he encouraged me. So on my way to the men's room, I walked up to his table and I just said, Mr. Grant, my name is Will Arnett. I'm an actor. I just want to introduce myself and say that I'm such a fan and I'm so influenced. And I think that you're incredible. And With Nell and I is my favorite film of all time. And I just think that you're fantastic and I don't want to bother you and blah, blah, blah. So thank you very much. Shook his hand and I left him.
Wow. What if he was like, oh, wait, I have a, and you just walked away before he had a chance to say anything?
No, I was. I went back to my seat. He could have. He had ample time.
Plenty of time. Yeah.
Did he act like he knew who you were in any way?
No, not really. Although Pete Serafinowicz met him and said that he mentioned to him within the last year that I was a big fan.
Ooh.
And then he sort of said, "Oh," and I don't know if he put it. Who knows? I don't even really care, to be honest. I was saying recently that you don't want to meet your heroes.
No.
You don't want to spend any real time with them. I got in this. Boy, I'm doing a lot of names.
No, please, go.
No, please, drop it.
But it was like because it was the Oscar, and I was at the Vanity Fair thing. I said to Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously.
Yeah. Which Conan?
Yeah. And I'd never met Bill Murray, and Bill Murray I'm also a huge fan of, and he was over there, and he said, oh, there's Bill Murray. And I said, maybe he's coming over. He said, you know him? And I said, no, I've never met him. And he goes, oh, you want to say hi? And I said, no, you know what? I don't. I don't think I want to meet Bill Murray. I'm such a fan of his. And I said, you should never meet your heroes. Conan went on to this long point about how I was kind of wrong. And he's like, no, you know, it's kind of good. And
sometimes you can have, they're your heroes because they're incredibly bright or they're talented, and in conversation with them, you might be really benefit from it, and you might be really, Conan's a fucking moron. I think he's wrong.
You're not the
Andy's
first.
The genius in that relationship. I am. No, I love both those guys, but he was kind of right. But I also do kind of still feel that.
Well, it's sort of hard because when you are meeting someone like
Bill Murray,
you and I would have the same problem, is that there's probably not much
he could do.
Well, there's not much you're going to say to him that's going to make him, because in your head you're like, oh, and then next week we'll be at a baseball game together.
An interesting point too regarding talking to your heroes. The only person when I first came out here to LA in 2007, I worked at the Apple Store at the Grove.
Uh-huh.
And the only person I like ran away from and didn't want to talk to was Mitch Hurwitz.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Really? He's really nice.
I'm sure he is.
He's really nice. He's worth it.
Is he?
You will benefit. Now here's a guy. He's interested in everybody he meets. And he's an interesting guy. He's incredibly smart. He's the funniest person I know, bar none.
Yeah.
And he's worth it. He's really worth it. Bill Murray, I tell you what, he did not disappoint, because he eventually did kind of saunter over and said, you know, Conan is so recognizable. He's so tall.
Yeah, sure.
He sticks out like a stupid redheaded thumb. Mm-hmm. And I only say that because I hope he's listening. But he...
Why is your Porsche all wet, Conan? Yeah.
But he said... Bill Murray came over and he said, hey, said hi to Conan. And then Conan said, hey, do you know Will? And he said, no. And he said, hey, how are you? Shook my hand. And then it was a great moment of, like, Sheryl Crow ended up coming over, right? Of course.
Sure, why not?
By the way, I didn't dream this, right?
Doesn't make sense.
Sounds like a dream. It does. Were you guys flying? Were you in your house, but it wasn't your house?
Yeah, it was my house, but it wasn't my house, and it felt like midnight, but it was bright daylight.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think this happened.
This happened. Yeah, it's the Vanity Fair party. Yeah.
It was the Vanity Fair party in 2014. So Sheryl Crow sort of said hi, and to me, at some, and then all of a sudden, Bill Murray picked her up in like a fireman, grip, you know, like over his shoulder, and walked away with her.
Because all she wants to do is have some fun.
Yeah. Yep.
That's our podcast for today, guys.
Will Arnett, The Miller, CBS.
Thursdays at 8:30.
DVR
it, watch it, do what you got to do to see it.
But if you DVR it, and then watch it pretty closely.
Within 7 days.
Yeah, within 7 days,
mind.
So the numbers count.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Also, I mean, like, watch it for Will, because, you know, Jim Burrows is all set.
He's all set.
Yeah.
But he's also the world's nicest. He's one of those guys you don't begrudge him because he's a talented guy.
Yeah.
And it all makes sense.
It all makes sense.
There's justice.
And also, you know who I want to, you know who's a great guy? Greg Garcia, who runs the Millers, is one of the good guys. He's a great dude.
Good.
Yeah.
So you'd give him some money.
Greg Garcia, didn't he do...
My Name is Earl.
Yeah. Wasn't he also an intern for Tony Kornheiser at PTI? Yes,
yeah, he was.
Yeah. All
right. He was.
Good pull.
Yeah.
He also took his he took some of his own polyps out of his nose with needle nose pliers in college.
I was going to ask
done
if
the
that
same
happened.
Thing. Honest to God, I would have done the same thing.
Isn't that terrible? He told me that the other day. It was disgusting. And he also punctured his eardrum with a Q-tip by mistakenly jamming it in.
Not as good an idea.
Yeah,
that's great.
Well, that's the
so there's that.
And then we end the podcast by saying enjoy your burrito, which is just a way that we sign off the podcast. But occasionally, if someone has a better voice than I do, I will ask them to say it. Would you say it as Kit?
You have to ask if Kit's here.
Okay. Is Kit in the room? The Knight Industries 2000 in the room?
Kit is here.
Kit, what should I do at this point?
Enjoy your burrito.
Thank you. Can you drive me there? I don't.
Also,
by my calculations, it'd be faster for us to fly.
Oh my God!
Is this like past super pursuit mode? What's happening?
Don't get hit by those tampons!
Oh my God! If I fall on the sidewalk, it's so soft.
The end. That was
wow.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite.com. Carbonite is online backup made easy. Plans start at just $59.99 a year. Start your free trial today at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist to get 2 bonus months with purchase.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.